All right, good evening.
Because Larry took some of my time, I'm going to go 20 minutes extra now. Yeah, I know. Actually, I was thinking that I don't need to cut off any time on mine because everything that you were saying basically ties in with what I'm going to talk about tonight. So it worked out perfectly. And I really appreciate how God works through the saints. Oftentimes, we're just thinking a lot of the same things, and I'm really excited about that. So, tonight I want to do a message kind of about self-evaluation. It's kind of like a self-growth one. And so I just open with the question towards you, and I hope that you answer honestly. Do you want to grow? Honestly, do you want to grow? And one of the things about growth is that there's often change involved, right? You know, you're not really growing if there's no change. And most people actually, I mean, let's be honest, are most people for or against change? Usually it's against. Unless, obviously, it's getting an upgraded vehicle or something, then we might be for a change. But usually when it goes in a direction that is something that we're not comfortable with or something that is challenging us to really be better than what we are right now, change is often, it's not wanted. It's not comfortable. And so the title of my message tonight is Love the Truth. And you'll kind of see where I'm going to go with this. I've been thinking about truth a lot. I've actually been thinking about repentance a lot just through different studies and personal studies, and truth and repentance have been on my mind. And then even Nolan brought up I don't know exactly how this ties in, but he brought up something in his message last week, and he said, there are people who are doers and then there are people who are complainers. And I've been thinking about that a lot too. And hopefully you guys are just willing to grow, to be challenged, to accept change, and to be able to accept truth and to grow past where you are right now. And that's the idea. And I think what Larry brought up was so perfect because he's bringing an example, really practical. And I didn't have a really good life example I could bring in for this message. So now I'm going to use the bike analogy. It worked out perfectly. So let's actually start off with a prayer real quick. You guys will turn to Ephesians right after this, but let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness, your patience, and the body that you've provided for us. Thank you so much for Christ and his love and his compassion and his willingness to grant repentance to us in the door that he opened, that you opened through him, that we could enter into your kingdom. I'm just so appreciative for the many blessings you have poured upon us. I pray that this night I can speak things that are pleasing to you, that are edifying to the body, and that we can be humble to the word and allow it to challenge us and to excel still more. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. All right, let's start turning on over to Ephesians. And there's lots of good things in Ephesians that we could look at. But tonight, I just really want us to talk about loving truth and obviously understanding that we are at spiritual war. We are at war. And this gets brought up a lot. It's not a war that most people are probably aware of, though. It's a war that is waging for man's souls. It's a war that is spiritual. It's not necessarily, you know, China versus Russia or Russia versus U.S. or Ukraine versus Russia. That's not what we're really interested in. What is the real battlefield? And that's on our hearts for the souls of man. Satan, make no mistake, he's the one that's really, you know, if he can distract other people as much as he wants, and he's doing a good job of it in the world, he's distracting people very well. If he can distract you and get you where you're not actually noticing what's happening, then he's won. (Clears throat) Let's start in Ephesians chapter 6. I just want to read, let's start in verse 10. We'll read 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And he tells us to take on the full armor, which we'll look at probably a little bit later. But what are we really fighting against? And the reason why I want us to start by looking at this is because we really need to get to the source of the problem. You know, I was thinking about James chapter 4, and James says, he questions the Christians, and he says, what is the source of quarrels and strife, you know, dissension and arguments? What's the source of all these things among you guys? And he said, isn't it, you know, your pleasure to wage war within your members? Really selfish ambition? I was thinking about turning to Galatians 5, but I don't have to now. Larry mentioned it. They have the deeds of darkness and the fruit of the light of the Spirit. And one of the things about the deeds of darkness is that they're pretty evident, right? They're pretty destructive. And I've been thinking about this, you know, doing personal Bible studies and Bible studying with different people. Man, sin is so destructive, guys. And it gets and entangles, and, you know, the Hebrews talks about the sin that so easily entangles. Why would he be talking about we need to encourage one another? You know, help each other, encourage each other, so you don't fall into this trap. Well, what ends up happening, it's kind of like getting stuck in mud. You know, and then I think about having mud on my shoes, and I keep walking around in it, and my jeans were always a little bit too long growing up because I always wore the cowboy style. So it would always get on the bottom of my pants because they would be getting caught underneath my shoes. And then I would walk into the house after I took off my shoes, but I would have mud on my pants, so now I'd have mud on the carpet. And it just creates this big mess. You see, sin is like that. And I think of an example that was brought up recently. It's kind of like a spider. I don't know if it was here or somewhere else. I've heard so many different things, but it's kind of like a spider, and he catches an insect in his web. You know, and immediately, it's like quicksand. You know, immediately you first touch it, and that's sticky. And then you start trying to roll around and get out of it, and before you know it, it's just all over you. That's what happens, right? That's what sin does. And you can see it firsthand in people's lives. It just totally wrecks them. Destroys their entire life. And that's what the devil really wants. Where I'm really going with this is that we need to be able to really grow. We need to be able to identify what is the source of the problem, though. Ultimately, we understand that it's our personal responsibility. Sin is always a personal choice. The tempter, he is waging war. He is the one that is planting these bombs. And we have to put on the full armor of God. And if we're being lazy and we decide to leave the armor of God, you know, just sitting on the couch as we go out to the world, obviously metaphorically, we're going to be in big trouble, right? Is Galatians chapter 5 written to Christians or non-Christians? It's written to Christians. He says, hey guys, you're Christians. Don't live like this. Don't be practicing sin, because it will destroy your life. I was listening to it was an interview, and it was between this financial guy, probably several of you are way more familiar with him than I am, but his name is Adam Schiff, and he was talking to Jordan Peterson, and he was talking about, they're talking about financial stuff. It's really interesting. I don't know, I just like listening to interviews. I love philosophy. I could listen to philosophy for hours. Sometimes I have to step away, though, because it's just too overbearing. But anyways, Adam Schiff, this financial guy, he was kind of, in a simple way, many of you are probably already familiar with this, he was explaining what inflation is. It's like, man, gas is so expensive right now. Man, I don't even know what the price is. What's the price per gallon right now? $3.50. Okay, that's not too bad anymore. $3.50 is not too bad, right? But I know I've heard from people way back, you know, it was under a dollar, it was 25 cents a gallon, you know. It changes. Now, is that inflation, the fact that we see things cost more today than they did tomorrow? Most people are taught that that is inflation, but what Adam Schiff was trying to bring up to people is that when you inflate something, it's when you actively are inflating it like a basketball. And he said it's really the political forces, politicians, if you will, printing more money. And what they are doing is they are inflating the amount of dollars flying in this universe. And that's inflation. Now, what is the byproduct of printing more and more money? If you just keep printing more and more money, what happens to money? Well, the individual dollar gets diminished to equal to nothing, really, right? You print more and more of something, it just becomes less and less cool. And that's what happens with the US dollar. That's how currencies work. That's what inflation is. Now, the reason why he was bringing this whole thing up is he said people are being deceived and they're being taught that one thing is inflation as opposed to what is actually inflation, and it's to redirect the responsibility. Hopefully I'm not losing you, but if inflation is caused by political powers, then who's really to be blamed for the fact that my dollar doesn't go as far on a day-to-day basis? It'd be the person who's inflating the dollar, right? But if you can change all the definitions and you can redirect who is really responsible, now we can't point fingers at who's responsible. And then guess what? We can't fix the problem. You see, there's a saying that I've heard before. I don't know exactly how well it holds to every situation, but it's every problem has a solution. And at least the idea that I get from that is that if there's a problem, that means that there was something that went wrong at a specific point, and we can go back to whatever that specific problem is, and we can fix it, and we have a solution. Every problem has a solution. But what if you don't think there's a problem? You won't fix it. The title I say was Love the Truth. And we oftentimes take this to just accepting, you know, obviously Jesus is the truth, right? And we need to be always focused on the spiritual truths in our lives. We are a royal priesthood. We are raised up above. But there's also this aspect. What if I am not repentant in a certain aspect of my life? What if I'm the problem? You know, have you guys ever listened to a personal voice recording of yourself? How many of you get like listening to voice recordings of yourself and you can't get enough of it?
Do not raise your hand.
Yeah. I do not like listening to myself at all. And I know I have to do that sometimes to go back and see, okay, how effective am I actually at preaching? Or I'll go back and see, make sure I didn't missay something. I don't know. I don't like listening to myself, really. But the thing is that you guys all actually are hearing what I'm hearing when I listen to a voice recording. Your guys' perception of me is different than that I have of myself. And whether I like that or not, it doesn't matter. The truth is, I sound like what that voice recording is. Right? You know, sometimes sin is like that. Sometimes we don't realize, and I've heard this, this is other quote, it says, pride is a funny disease, it affects everyone except the one who has it. Everybody's like, oh, I can't stand being around this person, I don't want to talk to them about this because they're just so hard to talk to. Man, why won't anybody come talk to me about anything, you know? Maybe it's because you're not easy to talk to. A lot of times, maybe we don't really want to evaluate, you know, and this is where I'm kind of going back a little bit to the deeds of darkness. Okay, if our life is showing certain fruits of dissension, arguments, chaos, anger, all these different things, there's probably something along the road that is not really being addressed or handled. So what we need to do is go back and reevaluate and love the truth of the matter, regardless of whether it means that I have to do some, you know, humbling myself. So love the truth. Somebody who genuinely wants to grow will love the truth, whether that means that they are listening to their own voice recording or not. I've been thinking about this because this really applies to those who've been in Christ for a very short amount of time and those who've been in Christ for decades. And they keep falling into the same traps and the same slumps. Be humble. Love the truth. Maybe ask for advice. Maybe I can, you know, I think about my personal life and there's different things that I'm like, man, I don't know why I keep having the same issue. And then I talked to my wife and she said, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I just needed to be humble. I needed to ask for her opinion on something and to just grow and to change. In Ephesians chapter 6, let's keep reading because we do need to take on the armor of light. In Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about verse 13, therefore, remember we're fighting against wickedness and all these different things, take up the full armor of God so you'll be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of this gospel. So, what are the things, it kind of goes back to Larry's example, and this is why I thought it was such a good example. He was recognizing there's a problem that kept coming up. He keeps, you know, his leg keeps coming off. Well, Larry, he didn't just, you know, blindly just say, I'm going to put back on the old shoe and the old straps, right? And then just not deal with the issue, because that would actually be detrimental to his long-term health. It would affect his hip. It would affect his whole well-being. He decided to recognize that there was an issue, and he addressed it. And he realized that, hey, I got to keep my heel down. You know, as Christians, that's what we are supposed to do. Maybe we are recognizing certain patterns. What are we supposed to do? Oh, yeah. Go back to the basics. Being humble. Taking on the breastplate of righteousness. Taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. How much time are you really spending in the Word of God? And this is me preaching to myself. How much time are you really spending in the Word of God and just eating it up? I got a new book the other day, and I haven't been able to set it down. I've been just reading. Well, it's on my phone, but I'm just scrolling. But I've been reading it nonstop, and I just can't get enough of it. It's very intriguing. But am I actually putting that amount of effort into the Word of God? What about prayer? Paul talks a lot about prayer. Prayer is so important, and so many times we often, you know, just throw that off to the side. What has the prayer life really been like? And this is where we got to love the truth. Well, the truth of the matter is maybe I haven't prayed as much as I should have. With all prayer and petition, are we praying for one another? Nolan brought up praying for one another this morning. If we pray for one another every day, do you think that there will be tremendous amount of growth from that? Absolutely. See, loving the truth is more than just liking the good things. It's actually being able to identify what are the weaknesses too. And we are told in Christ to have this mindset of our identity is placed first, of who we are in Christ. So I'm not trying to say go back and, you know, think about all the bad things, but there still is this accountability, this responsibility to make sure we are examining ourselves and not just turning a blind eye to certain things. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Oftentimes when you see things of what we're told not to do or the bad things, as the deeds of darkness in Galatians 5, when you see those lists in the scripture, you often see the good things that follow it. Well, here are the fruit of the Spirit. Instead of doing this bad thing, do this good thing. It's, again, because God knows how we work. Okay? If I'm not supposed to do the bad thing, what am I supposed to do? Just be not thinking about anything? Because if people have a tendency to just, well, if I don't think about that thing enough and I just keep thinking about not doing that, not doing that, not doing that, what are you thinking about the whole time? You're just thinking about that thing. So we have to think forward as well. But sometimes we can deceive ourselves and to think, man, everything is just going great as there's a burning building going around us. And our relationship with our spouse is not good. And our relationship with our kids or our parents or, you know, whatever it might be, all these things are not going very well. From other people's perspective, they're saying, hey, just so you know, I've noticed this trend. And you're just thinking, oh, this is all good. There's also a reason why two Christians, oftentimes they're writing, hey, don't find yourself in this position. Because sometimes we have to be reminded of that. Romans chapter 12 is one of those verses I just want us to turn and look at. In verse 1 through 3 really is good. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. There's a lot of things that we could look at there. But what is a Christian told to do? How are we to be transformed? The renewing of our mind. That's the active part that I get to play on the good spectrum, if you will. I'm being transformed by God when I am actively renewing my mind. But here's the part that came right before it. What does it say right before that? It says, do not be conformed to this world. You see, you still have to actively, consciously say, I'm not going to do this wrong thing, then choosing what is good. Because sometimes people can have a tendency to, again, this is where it goes back to loving truth for what it really is. People can sometimes deceive themselves and say, well, I'm doing this good thing, but I haven't really actively told myself I'm not going to be conformed to the image of the world. I haven't actually stopped watching that TV show that I know is bad for my spiritual health. I haven't actually stopped listening to this album. I haven't actively stopped X, Y, and Z, you know. A good example I heard from Caleb Wilson a few years at Family Camp a few years ago was if you have a problem with dairy, you should probably take the ice cream out of your fridge. Right? Freezer? You should probably take the ice cream out of your fridge because it's going to melt and get all over the place. Actually, I do know that by experience. That's the sad part. Take the ice cream out of the freezer. Don't be conformed to this world. Well, what is that? That's also something we actively do, right? That's not passive. Well, you actively get to play a part in that. Renew your mind. If you're actively thinking about things that you shouldn't be, are you renewing your mind? No, you actively need to be renewing your mind and making conscious decisions to take every thought captive, as Paul says to the Corinthians. Loving the truth, again, is more than just, I just want to like all the good things in life. Loving the truth is loving the truth and the whole truth. And as Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, he said, if you continue in my teaching, the truth will set you free. There's nothing more liberating. I've been kind of thinking about this, and again, this is not gospel, if you will, but I think it's true. Walking in truth and light is the closest to living in heaven on earth that you can get. Walking in truth and light. Because when you are open and honest with who you are and where you're really at, and you are willing to grow, and you understand who you are in Christ, and you're actually walking and making those steps in those directions, and you're not trying to self-deceive or deceive others, there's great freedom in that. There's great freedom in walking in truth, in walking in light. And even the 12-step program, they understand this, don't they? I mean, what's the whole thing behind that? And again, they take it a little too far or the wrong way. A lot of modern counselors, they're not allowed to say that, you know, let's say drunkenness, let's use drunkenness and alcoholism. They're not allowed to say that that's a sin. Oh, drunkenness, that's not a sin. You know, there's a lot of other things I could probably bring up, but you guys can fill in the blanks. Oh, these things are not sins. That's not a sin. That's a disease. How are you supposed to help somebody if they can't be honest with what's really wrong? Now, the 12-step program, they at least got that down. They said, well, you come in and you got to at least admit that you're an alcoholic, if you're an alcoholic. And in that moment, if you're an alcoholic, then that's what you are. Where it goes wrong is that you can't identify as something that you have overcome and you have repented from, though. And that's where we as Christians, we understand that, hey, we were darkness. In Ephesians chapter 2 talks about that. Let's actually turn to Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about how we were darkness. We were in this position. You have been brought to light. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, talks about, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That was us. Pre-Christ, amen? Were you dead and lost and entangled and your life was going down the drain? Absolutely. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But this is where, again, what's our identity now? But God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us, in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to a lot of other things. But really, the exhortation tonight, hopefully I was clear in communicating this, is that to really love the truth and to grow and to keep excelling still more, you have to be able to examine yourself at times and to be honest about where you're really at and to be able to, as Larry brought up in his bike example, evaluate what the problem is. Because I guarantee you, if you just turn a blind eye to a problem, it's not going to go away. It won't. You can try to, you know, trick yourself as much as you want. Oh, it's not. It will catch up to you. Ultimately, we have to find our identity in Christ. And ultimately, we will overcome. Ultimately, if you are making God and Christ priority and day in, day out, and renewing your mind, you will overcome. But I just wanted to encourage us tonight that we need to love the truth and to excel still more. And sometimes that means being able to address the hard things. It's not always comfortable to sometimes step back and be like, wow, yeah, you know what? My breath does stink. Maybe I should get that taken care of. But you have to be honest with yourself about that. So let's actually close with a prayer. And hopefully you guys are encouraged. Really, what we want to do is we want to be doers and not merely hearers for the Lord. Amen.